Okay, Ray, you ready? Ray?
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Mic is on.
Okay.
All right. Here we go.
The mics are on. No one's home.
We have a big show coming up. Let's see if we can go walk into the room.
Oh, this door over here?
Yeah, this door right here.
Looks locked.
No, that's not the door. Hold on. I'm going to do that.
That's a closet, Chris.
That's the
closet. You do that to me all the time.
Let's try it.
Get
try
your cousin out of there, too, while you're in there, will you? Oh.
That room.
That's the room. Look at that.
There you go.
Hey.
That's the room.
Is that...
They're the people that are waiting for the show.
Is that Johnny over there?
There he is. He's hanging out. Frankie
Five Angels over there in the corner? He's drinking already. Jeez.
Ready to do the Mother's Day extravaganza?
Let's go.
Let's start with this.
City. The views and opinions expressed by the hosts or guests on this radio station, which is owned and operated
this
by
Nassau
Community College, are not the opinion of Nassau Community College, its administration, or its employees.
Because we may have a problem with some people. So
yeah, let's make sure we're okay.
Yeah, exactly.
There may be problems otherwise anyway.
Okay. We're gonna play Kimmy now. Here's Kimmy.
This is Motormouth Radio, your one-hour automotive talk show. And now, here are your Motormouths, Chris Switzer and Ray Guarino.
All righty. Good Sunday afternoon.
Hey.
This is the Motormouth Radio Mother's Day extravaganza. You know what happens today, right?
I know what happens today, yeah.
Yeah, all the fruits of my labor, the fruits of our labor, that's true, because you were like the compiler extraordinaire.
And look, I'm hungry. I want to go over to that buffet table over there. You see the spread? Hey, look, there's George Barris. He actually made it. I can't believe it. George.
Wow. Yeah, we got a cast of thousands of going on here. Where are we anyway?
Unbelievable. I don't think we're at liberty to tell where we are.
All right.
We're just at a disclosed location.
We're just at Party Central.
Yeah. Where the possums roam freely.
Exactly.
And the vertebrae scream.
Those. My possum, your vertebrae.
Sure.
So we got a lot of bits to go to throw in and enjoy. There's a lot of them, so we're going to get started right away here at the Motormouth Radio Mother's Day Extravaganza, playing the best bits of 08 and 09 for your listening pleasure. It's our gift to all you mothers out there. And let's see, what am I first?
Oh. How did this begin anyway?
Well, it started, I was very small.
Yeah.
No, we always... never were able to get a guest on Mother's Day. We always had other things to do, so we always used to play a pre-recorded show. And then one day I said, you know what, if we're going to play a pre-recorded show on Mother's Day, we might as well commemorate it with something. So we decided to play the best bits of the year. And it's now steamrolled. This is year six, I think it is, five or six?
Seven. Yep. The seventh year. That's why I was asking, like, kind of how did this all begin? Because I think we should talk about maybe how the show... the inception of the show, right?
Well, it started, the Mother's Day show started a couple of years after the show itself.
Right, it wasn't because there was no material
right from the beginning. There still isn't any material.
Well, we count from the beginning. We give you the...
So here's the first bit right here on the extravaganza. Here's, what do we got here? We're going to start it off with the one of the founding fathers of the Motormouth Radio show. He's explaining how it all started.
Thank you.
And this was on the 7th...
Thanks, Tony.
This is on the 7th anniversary show. Here's Tony Trincilla talking about how it all happened.
And then one day at Chris's kitchen table in Brooklyn, New York.
Right.
This concept for, hey, why don't we do like a religious radio talk show? I'd really like to get into religious radio.
Talk about God.
Said, can't you do a little bit better than that? I said, hallelujah and amen. I have no problem with that, but it's just not really our bag, bud.
Right.
And a couple of weeks later, Chris came back to me and said, hey, would you be interested in doing this show on cars? Why don't we talk about what we know?
Right.
You know, maybe we could take all our experiences, all the slipped wrenches, busted knuckles, broken bolts and studs, and pass them on to people and maybe get some of their information and put it all together and get a little something going. Maybe we can even syndicate this thing and become millionaires. Remember that?
Well, I'm sorry to say you missed out on that part. We cashed in.
I see.
We got the millions.
I see.
We got the piles.
Right. We got the piles is right.
That's for sure.
But that was the general concept of Motormouth Radio.
Don't forget me, man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the big guns himself right there, Robbie Leonard.
If I remember right, I'm the one who said to you, I think you should do a car show at our radio station.
Well, yeah. You actually asked me. You haunted me for about a year and a half.
I know. I kept saying,
what'd you say again?
Ah!
Just checking. Because I was always saying, what, college radio? You got to be kidding me. It's easy just to, you know, roll open the window and shout. But then again, Tony and I, our college radio station was 10 watts.
I know, it still is.
We were 10 watt superstars. So that was really the extent. I was thinking all college radio was like that, not the slick and exotic station that we're at today.
there was that whole persona of college radio that I was just not into at the time. But when you kind of like hounded me and just never let me rest,
I
was like, all right, for crying out loud, I'll give you a proposal. We'll do a car show. There you go. That's how it all started. I guess that's from Tony's mouth.
All right. That's what I wanted to know.
Here at the Motormouth Mother's Day Extravaganza, the best bits of 08 and 09 coming your way for the remainder of the hour. And going to jump into the second one right here because...
Yeah, we do kind of follow tradition on this show, don't we?
Exactly. Following tradition is what we try to do.
Not the bad tradition, though.
There are some bad ones. But speaking of traditions, Levittown's favorite son, Mike Sims, decided to share some of traditions of his own, of his very own way back in April of this year. And this is how it sounded on the extravaganza.
We're talking about traditions as far as blowing things up.
Yes.
My son, Ryan, who's called the show before, who listens, because he is a gearhead since he was, literally since he was two, and that's no exaggeration.
I wonder why.
I have no idea.
No, we have no clue.
Not my fault.
No.
But I said to him...
It's only his mom's fault.
Go ahead, blame Marie. Good idea. Honey, please, I'd like dinner tonight. He had bought a Saturn.
There's
he had a little
Ford. There's a Seafy at the Bunnery Pub.
Yeah, exactly. Which is no longer in business, but I appreciate
you
it.
You got the point, didn't you? Yeah, that's what she's going to tell you.
But he bought a wagon for parts. Mm-hmm. So I said, listen, if it's 2 days on the driveway, that's fine. No more. I don't want it, you know, no problem, Dad. He says, all right, I took off what I need. I'm getting rid of the car. I said, all right, did you follow the tradition? And he says, what's the tradition? I said, well, what's going on with the car? Are you selling it or is it going to the yard? He goes, no, it's going to the yard. I said, then you need to continue the tradition. And he's looking at me confused. He says, what are you talking about?
Just like we're looking at you confused now.
Right.
Now, so I know said, what he's. I know where he's going.
You know where I'm going.
I know where he's going.
I said,
oh,
the
strip party?
No. Hey.
No, come on. Strip parties.
The tradition,
no, Brooklyn.
The tradition is you have to drain the crankcase, fire it up, and crank the daylights out of it. And he's looking at me. And he says, like it was Christmas morning, he says, are you serious? And I said to him, I'm as serious as a stroke. I said, this is tradition. The guys that I hung around with, which, by the way, you knew a bunch of them from the old car club back on Long Beach Road. I said, you need to do this. I said, I'm not kidding. This is the God's honest truth. He says, no problem. He had the jack under that car in a heartbeat.
It was like NASCAR.
Cranked it. I mean, literally. Drained the oil. And, of course, my 11-year-old, who is as mischievous, and we named him Christian. That was a good idea.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
He's 11?
He's 11.
Oh, my gosh.
He looks like size of an average 13-year-old. But he says, what are you doing? So I said, we're going to blow up the motor. Oh, really? I grabbed him by the collar. I said, so help me God, you open your mouth to your mother. I said, you're going to walk with a limp. No problem, Dad. So Ryan cranked it up, and I said, you have to either rev the snot out of it or stand on the gas pedal. No problem. Bang. Thrilled to pieces. Christian makes a U-turn to go in the house. I grab by the collar again. I said, what did I tell you? I'm not telling Mommy. Good boy. Get in the house.
I'm putting her on YouTube.
That's it. The tradition is the tradition. You have to.
A classic by Mike Sims.
The man that knows tradition.
Exactly. Supports it completely. But this is the Motormouth Radio Mother's Day Extravaganza, playing the best bits of 08 and 09. And the traditions are just rolling along here.
Yeah, and speaking of tradition, there's a tradition that we can't agree on anything.
That's very true.
Which usually manifests itself in some ugly yet funny ways.
But it also makes for good radio. But let's figure out why we can't agree on anything while we do this. Let's see if this works here. Why isn't this not working? Let's try that. Come on, settle up.
Yeah, we're using that portable rose-powered Mother's Day board today with those hokey flowers they sell on the street corner. So that's the fuel source.
All right. Here's how we tried to figure this out about a fuel line rust. I went the scientific route with electrolysis, while you took a more organic approach. Here's how it sounded on the extravaganza.
Well, actually, one of them was the problem with the cop car. I think he had the steel line actually leaked under the clay. You know, they put a little clamp on the... on the frame, it's like a little tack welder clamp and a fuel line, and it rusted at the juncture. So put a piece of hose in there.
It's because it's two dissimilar metals, and unfortunately,
steel and steel. So that was they don't really work well together. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you ever work on a car before? What do you think it was? The unobtainium and titanium?
No, because that's what happens.
Yeah, well, what happens? Tell me. Explain this to me, please, because I obviously have no clue.
Did you ever work on a car?
No, I haven't. Have you?
You weren't this funny when you first started, young man.
No, I wasn't. I didn't know you then. It's kind of like by assimilation. It rubs off.
Did you ever work on a car?
And it rubs off, and I think my bunghole is itching.
So I got a wire brush for you.
Yeah, thanks. Good. Great. I knew this was going to go. This was going to help me a lot.
It'll shine up your threads.
Yeah. Good.
No. So you got to always. Yeah. The fuel line will always rust. The metal fuel line will always rust at the clamp.
Well, so are the brake lines.
Well, that's because that the metal up against the brake up against the line.
Yeah.
Why does it rust there? There have to be two dissimilar metals and not just steel.
You know what? Go read a book and come back when you have information that makes sense. I'll tell you why.
Why would they rust it just at the clamp?
Sit back in your desk. I'll tell you why. Because that's where moisture and dirt and salt gets trapped.
Uh-huh.
And it's in a confined space, and it eats it from that in that confined space. That's why it doesn't. It
so
really can
six
rust.
Six granules of over, sand
over 40 years.
Yeah. Come on. It's like it's not going to get washed away.
Have you ever seen a car from any year? 60s. Let's pick the 60s that had like sand or crap stuffed down into the quarter panels at the bottom of the fender.
Right.
And what happened? A big rust hole there.
Yeah, but that's a pound of sand and crap in there. Do you ever see a 75 Caddy Coupe DeVille?
Yeah.
Take a look at the chrome strip that runs along the back quarter panel. You see those big, huge holes?
Yeah.
Because there's two dissimilar metals.
No, I say it's moisture trapped between the panel and the clip.
That.
Of course you don't.
You ever worked on a car before?
I don't know. I'm going to take a BOCES class. I'll learn something. Hey, I still wonder if you've ever worked on a car. Still trying to figure this out.
No, but I play a radio host.
I know. Quite well, am I in?
You have to mention about the bunghole.
Yeah, that was a whole other show, and that kind of got taken out of context in that little bit. But,
but it sounded good nonetheless.
Still itches.
Yeah. Well, the party's really getting turned up here.
I see that, yeah.
Here at the Motor Mouth Radio Party Central, where we are playing the best bits of 08 and 09 on the Motor Mouth Mother's Day extravaganza. So we're not taking any calls, and I'm trying very hard not to mention the phone number.
Right.
But I tell you, we had something that you started, Ray, was the Motor Mouth Radio Lecture Series.
That's because I like to lecture you.
And it shows.
Captive audience and all, you know.
Well, we kicked it all off with noted author of Car Collecting Everything You Need to Know.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He's our appraiser and all-around good guy, Steve Linden. And he was gloating about another radio show that he a radio show, a TV show that he was on.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
So let's check it out on the Motormouth Mother's Day extravaganza right here. So what's happening in the last couple of weeks? Like, we're dying to know.
The last couple of weeks, like last week, I guess?
Yeah!
Actually, it was a great week. I got invited out to visit Jay Leno and talk to him. And
who?
He's this guy. A couple of people have heard of him. He does The Tonight Show, or will be for a little while longer anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I heard of him.
And it was great. Quite an experience.
Now, how did that come about, Steve? Because not everybody, all the car guys that we know would love to do that, ourselves included.
Oh, yeah.
But not everybody gets the call.
Well, it's funny you should mention getting the call, because I had sent him a copy of my book, and I really thought that would be the end of it. And much to my surprise, one Friday afternoon at 5 o'clock, I get a call in that unmistakable Jay Leno voice saying...
Just interject. Tell us what your book is.
It's called Car Collecting Everything You Need to Know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it was interesting. 5 o'clock in the afternoon, I get a call from him, and he's like, "Hey, Steve, this is Jay Leno."
Wow.
And I couldn't believe it. I thought it was a friend goofing on me, and I almost hung up on him.
Yeah, sure.
But it was him, and he was very nice, and he called me personally to thank me for the book and invited me out.
That's great.
Wow.
Of course, I jumped on the bandwagon, you know.
We tried to jump on a bandwagon with you. We were going to carry your bags, drive your car, whatever you needed.
Hopefully, we're trying to figure out how to get into your suitcase.
Yeah.
You should have told me, because I had to carry my own bags, you know.
So the premise was to film a segment of Jay Leno's Garage.
Yeah, he invited me out to do a segment for Jay Leno's Garage, which is his website.
Right.
And it was great. There were a bunch of other people. Everybody from small guys like me to big guys like 3M were there with new products they have.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So what was your role in the show? What did he have you do? I'm very curious about that.
Well, he specifically with me, what we did is we went into one of his garages and we stood in front of one of his cars, which was an 8-liter Bentley.
Mm-hmm.
And Jay, being Jay and being as gracious as he is and having never met me before, held up a copy of my book with me off of camera and held up the copy of the book and says, "My friend Steve Linden wrote this book."
Great.
And of course, I get a big smile on my face. And then I walk in from, you know, off the camera and we talked about the book, and he looked at me and he said, "Is this really everything you need to know about car collecting?"
And you said,
said, "If it's not in this book, you don't need to know it." I have to tell you, this was pretty entertaining. There were a lot of funny things that went on out there.
And, well, you're with the funny man, yeah.
And he's the consummate professional. I mean, there's no rehearsal for this at all. And yet, you start talking to him, and he's just, questions are popping out of his mouth that are intelligent and well thought out and logical. And
not like this hour's going to be.
Yeah, not like, right, exactly. Pretty much not like this.
Certainly not like that.
Thanks, Steve. That was great.
Steve Linden, Car Collecting Everything You Needed to Know. It's a very good read. That's mm-hmm. right. And Steve is always, always welcome here at Motormouth Radio, where we're playing the best bits of 08 and 09.
And I see him back there with a bacon cheeseburger and a big beer. Nice. Enjoy that.
So anyway, let's keep going with the lecture series as well, because we have Tom Cotter.
Mm-hmm.
He was the author of The Hemi in the Barn and also The Cobra in the Barn.
Right.
And back in January, you spoke to... He spoke to us about one of his personal garage finds. And that was pretty cool. He was on the phone and gave us a good story on a 51 Jag.
And I tell you, the tip from about Tom was all because of our good friend Dan, who read the books and said, "You got to check these out." So
yes.
Kudos to you, Danny, in the back. I see you.
Here it is on the Motormouth Mother's Day extravaganza.
So, Tom, what was the most obscure thing that led you to a car, like that you saw visually? Like, did you see, like, an antenna or just a mirror or something like...
A Motormouth Radio bumper sticker or something.
Well, that's obscure.
Yeah, that's very obscure.
When I lived in Bethpage, I remember I told my wife, you know, like, I'll be on Saturday. You know, I get on my bicycle, and I just say, "I'm not going to be home until I find a car that I didn't know about." And I'd be gone for all day. And, yeah. You know, some guy would be on a Saturday, and he'd be working on his yard, and there'd be a pile of crap in the garage. The door's open. You can look at his lawn chairs and sleds and bicycles. And I saw the taillight lens through, like, a 51 Jaguar XK120. Just a lens. Just a tiny round lens. Because the car was covered with a canvas cover, and they had all this crap on top of it. And I'm riding by, and he's working in the yard. I said, "Is that a Jaguar you got in there?" He said, "How did you know?" I said, "Well, I could see the taillight." You gotta be kidding me.
Well, that's it. They don't realize who they're dealing with.
Yeah, the only reason why I ask is because I have that talent as well. I mean, I can't remember when trash day is, but I can get, you can hand me a part to a car, and I'll 99% of the time know exactly what part it is, and or where, or give me like a little obscure picture of a vehicle, and I'll know what kind of car it is. I mean, and so that's why I'm asking. It's like I'm built for this. I've just never done it before.
Well, I don't know how you are at remembering people's names, but they say, and this has been studied scientifically, that the greater your knowledge of things mechanical, like a car, of little details and the year and the model and all those intricacies that you know about, the better you know those things, the harder it is for you to remember people's names.
That's me.
Yep.
I'll get faces and voices. I remember our callers when they call, but I can't remember a name.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, that's some kind of a defect.
Tom, I'm lucky if I remember Ray's name.
Who?
Who?
Yeah, so, exactly. Hey, who are you? Who are you behind the board over there?
I don't know. Who are you?
You look familiar. I think I've seen you in the emergency room.
Lying next to you, perhaps.
Probably.
It's the Motormouth Mother's Day extravaganza, playing the best bits of 08 and 09 for you, for all you mothers out there. And when we return, we have Motor Trend editor Matt Stone with a secret on Paul Newman. That's going to be a lot of fun. And, of course, my co-host Ray almost jumped ship for greener pastures. Think bang bang.
Mm-hmm.
Plus the lives and the wives of both the Bronc and Mr. Fabulous, Bob Berkowitz. And that's all going to happen right here on the Motormouth Mother's Day Extravaganza 08 and 09 with Ray Guarino and Chris Switzer. We got a lot more coming your way, so keep it where you got it.
The Motormouths will be right back with your car questions. Give us a call at 516-572-7440.
Hi, this is Michael Anthony. Join me every Saturday from 7 to 10 p.m. for the best of traditional jazz and American popular standards. The vocalists, musicians, arrangers, and composers are always celebrated each week with artist profiles and special guests.
Have a question about your car or someone else's car? Then give the Motormouths a call, 516-572-7440.
Welcome back to Motormouth Radio.
Yeah, things don't always go the way they plan. Right.
The party made that skip.
Yeah, I think so. Well, I mean, you get guys like, you know, we got Joe and we got Frankie over there, the dancing. You know, there's a lot of rocking in this room. This thing's happening.
Did you get some Sweet Adele yet?
No, not yet, but I'm waiting for that. Yes, okay. I definitely want to have some. Because we got the coffee.
Got
a little Anisette, too.
Let's get right back into the bits here, playing the best of 08 and 09 on the Motormouth Mother's Day Extravaganza. And while talking about his book, McQueen's Machines, Motor Trend editor Matt Stone gave us a little snippet from his latest book. It's called Winning, The Racing Life of Paul Newman. And here's something we actually did not know.
What about, a surprise.
Yeah, about Paul Newman himself. That's what we like to do when we interview people. We like to find out those things that no one knows.
Right.
Matt Stone was right at hand here on the Extravaganza. Check it out. Matt, can you share some stories of Paul Newman and his some that will make you laugh or cry, like you were saying about?
Well, he was a real practical joker.
Paul Newman?
Loved practical jokes.
Really?
Oh, yeah, big time. And, I mean, all in good fun, but a serious practical joker. I remember one time he was, here's a good example, and this is in the book. He was racing for Bob Sharp Racing, which was a Nissan team,
yep.
And their big competitor, Group 44, you probably remember,
yes.
Bob Tullius with the Triumphs and,
sure.
and MGs and stuff like that. So one time, and I forget which exactly racetrack was at, he rented a gigantic garbage truck. And he painted the entire garbage truck in Group 44 livery. and he hung Triumph parts all over it. And
that's fitting.
And instead of British Leyland, it said British Layman. And, you know, he misspelled all of the, you know, Bob Thule Bob or something like that. He misspelled all the crew members' names. And in the middle of a break at the racetrack, pulled this thing in and drove around the entire track and picked up all the trash. You know, stuff like that.
How do you hide something like that, you know, in the infield?
Yeah, well, what was Tullius going to do about it?
Right.
Like throw rocks at it?
Yeah, sure. Throw some rocks at it.
It's a 38,000-pound truck. What are you going to do?
Exactly.
Wow.
So then, as a retort, Group 44 grounded up a couple of policemen at the next race, and they had Paul Newman arrested for impersonating a racing driver.
Yeah, we're in fear of being arrested for impersonating
radio host.
Yeah. We're afraid of that every week, Matt. We're going to go outside and find some cops waiting for us.
Right, exactly. That next week there'll be some obscure pet show here in our place. Still waiting for that obscure pet show.
I don't think it's far off.
It's the Motormouth Mother's Day Extravaganza.
Hey, can we get Dina to bring that tray of Jello shots over here? They look real good.
She'll have that figure skating pose.
I think she's skating now, yeah.
You know, back in December, while on a trip down south, I came back with a radio experience that almost cost me my longtime radio colleague right here. And here's what happened. This was kind of funny, because there was some obscure show of its own that you were finding much more entertaining than this one.
You surprised?
No, not at all. Let's check it out on the Extravaganza.
I was just outside of Roanoke, and I heard a show called Gun Talk.
All right. Exactly. That's my show.
Couldn't believe it. Now, mind you, Gun Talk also has...
You got my full attention now.
...has advertisers.
Sure.
So, and the commercials went something like this. Y'all want better accuracy?
Yep.
Y'all want less recoil?
Yep.
Y'all want better penetration?
Yep.
Y'all need a bigger gun.
Yep. Okay.
That was the commercial.
Nice.
This guy was totally cool, totally professional, but he was answering questions, and I loved some of the questions.
Sure.
Guy called up. He's like, every time I shoot, every once in a while, the gun jams.
Okay.
And the guy was real cool about it. He says, y'all, if your gun's jamming, y'all get that jam out within 2 seconds. Y'all need a different gun.
It depends on the type of the jam, I'll tell you that. It could be a stovepipe, which is very, very popular with semi-automatics.
Any guy can't get his gun out of a jam in 2 seconds or less.
You got a problem.
Yeah.
So you were looking for the other programming. With this guy.
And the best was, guy calls up and he's like, yo, I'm looking for a gun with better penetration.
Right.
And the host went right into it. He says, y'all got, you know, one of our advertisers sells one of those bigger guns. You got to go get yourself a big gun.
Let me tell you something.
Loving it.
I could, if I moved down here, I could co-host that show with
you
this guy.
You could,
sure. I could just get right into that. I'll just,
this guy
slide right over.
Naming names, talking about grips.
Think of the freebies we could get with that.
Uh-huh.
Damn.
Yeah, he was like, y'all need a good grip. I'm like,
you
I'm,
do.
Thinking, I'm thinking to myself, I got a good grip.
Nope, nope. And I'll tell you what, and I'll tell you what, if he didn't mention it by name, you probably, he would say you need Hogue grips.
That's what he said.
Of course he did. That's How do I know that?
That's what he said.
Because Hogue makes rubber grips and law enforcement use them universally.
I don't even know what the heck a grip is.
It's
other than the grip I know.
That's where you grab the guts, the butt of the gun where you grab it. And typically, Hogue grips are just slide over the stock grip. And some guns, you remove the grips and replace them with Hogues.
Check out Gun Talk.
Oh, man. Are they on the internet?
I don't know.
I'll go. We'll swap t-shirts with them.
I almost drove off the road.
It
It was the best part of the whole trip was listening to about 40 minutes of Gun Talk. And I almost lost my co-host because of it.
That's not a done deal yet. Let me just get down there now. You're reminding me that there's a job waiting for me to sell.
There certainly is. I'm sure you don't have to give him any resume.
Mm-mm.
Just walk in and talk about your grip.
Just throw your big gun on the table and there you go. There's my credentials, buddy.
That's a pretty big gun.
Thank you.
Hey, you know, never ever lost for words, Motor Mouth Radio's very own cactus chaser, the Bronc, he claimed that he never locked himself out of a car.
Right.
Like some people did earlier this year.
Right.
But his wife, Jan, actually did.
Mm.
And here's how it sounded back in, when was that? That
March.
Was like March of this year. That was pretty interesting because you can always get something colorful out of the Bronc. And here's how it sounded on the Motor Mouth Radio Mother's Day extravaganza.
What story do you have about locking yourself out of a vehicle?
Personally, I never did it, but I can tell you what my wife did.
Oh, good. Good enough. That qualifies.
It works.
Oh, this is a good story, okay?
Go ahead.
She just bought a brand-new Hyundai, and, you know, when you buy a new car, you get the roadside assistance program.
The yellow one, right?
The yellow one.
The yellow one. Got it.
So anyway, I go to Vermont skiing, and then I get a phone call yelling and screaming at me. I said, what is this all about? Now, those of you who are married, you understand this. You have no idea what's going on, but you're getting yelled at, correct?
He's got all a point, right?
Kind of like doing this show.
Right? So to make a long story longer, she's driving home from work at night.
Right.
Runs out of gas on Sunrise Highway.
Yeah.
Okay. Gets out of the car. Locks the keys in the car.
Did she do it on purpose?
Yeah. So she runs out of gas. She gets out of the car. Now she's out of gas on the side of the road at night with the keys locked in the car.
Nice.
How's that? So
you're going to break into the car for what?
Now, I'm in Vermont, realize this.
Oh, great.
There's nothing I could do.
Right.
So she gets some Good Samaritan, drives it to a gas station, she gets gas.
Okay.
Never thinking to call roadside assistance to come unlock the car.
Right.
So she gets to the gas station, realizing not only did she lock her keys in the car, she locked the pocketbook in the car, so she has no money to pay for the gas that she's trying to get without a gas can to get back to the car where everything is locked up.
But she's a woman with womanly ways and female guile, so she could figure something out.
And she called and yelled at you.
Yes. So now she's in the gas station, 2 o'clock in the morning. She's calling me in Vermont, which I'm dead to sleep, that it's my fault. She locked the keys in the car. She locked the pocketbook in the car, and she ran out of gas. Does that qualify?
Yeah, that qualifies.
That worked out pretty well.
Oh, yeah, it was great. So that's the true story, by the way.
Son of a gun. So did the car finally make it home? I would assume it did.
Yes, she
on a flatbed.
Got in touch with a girlfriend.
Right.
Who picked her up, drove her back to Long Beach, picked up the spare car keys, drove back up.
Wow.
You know, the whole fiasco.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was in the doghouse because I was away. See, if I wasn't away, it wouldn't have happened.
Of course. And I never...
I married her anyway.
Really married her anyway.
Absolutely.
The Motor Mouth Radio Mother's Day extravaganza, the best bits of 05. 05. Listen to me.
Mr. Wayback's flashback machine. We've had a few bits with wives. We've had some wife issues this year, haven't we? Not us personally, but.
Yes, we definitely had some wife issues.
Yeah.
And also, speaking of issues.
Speaking of.
How do you like that for subtlety?
Very good. Well, you gotta lay off those.
I gotta get my glasses.
No, those cactus coolers. You've had way too many already.
Here's where the Motor Mouths reach out to advise their fellow alumni of the impending doom back in July of last year. Rich Wisniewski was also in the studio to witness the magic of Wives, right, and the dealings therein on the Motormouth Mother's Day Extravaganza. This is also Bob Berkowitz, a classic Mr. Fabulous bit. Check it out.
I got pulled over one time. It was about 2 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
So you get pulled over by a cop on the Wantagh Parkway at 2 o'clock in the morning, you're going to be a little nervous.
All righty.
He truly did not believe I wasn't drinking, which I had not had anything to drink.
He didn't believe that?
You know, I didn't have anything to drink.
That's because you're naturally high.
What was that?
You're naturally high.
That's true. I had just come from seeing my girlfriend at the time, and I was fine.
Did your wife know?
Wow.
You have seen the magic.
Sorry about that, Pete.
He asked me to say the alphabet, and of course, as soon as I got to D, I stumbled.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, whatever you said.
You know, of course, out came the breathalyzer. They inspected the car. Lucky they didn't rip the whole car apart. You know, they saw something like, this would be a good place to store drugs. I said, well if I did them, that would be, but I wouldn't leave it in plain sight.
That's a good way to find out loose change under the seats.
Right.
Yeah, I sold my car, I got $4.47. It was pretty impressive.
Nice.
Hey, you can buy a gallon of gas now with that.
Or a gallon of milk. I think Rich was more impressed with that bit. Rich, you're right? Raise your hand if you... I know you hear me, right?
Yeah, there he is. He's over there.
I see him.
Down in Party Central here where the Motormouth Radio Mother's Day Extravaganza is going strong, playing those bits of 08 and 09.
And Chris, when we come back, yes, it's time for another Thorazine break.
Yeah.
We'll be hearing from the likes of the King of Customs with a K, George Barris himself.
Yeah.
Also, drag racing legends Billy Lynch and George Snizek from Atlantic Auto Body and Pacers Automotive, respectively, and drag racing and cooking legends Dina and Drew Parisi, our favorites.
That sounds really cool. So stick around on the Motormouth Mother's Day Extravaganza, where we're playing the best bits of 08 and 09 for you. Ray Guarino, I'm Chris Witzel. A lot more to come.
We'll be back with answers to your car questions. Give us a call at 516-572-7440. Oh, I should have said more.
What do your Thursday nights sound like? How about your Sunday afternoon? Well, at 93FM WHC, they sound this. Thursdays at 11 p.m. and Sundays at 1 p.m., anything written, produced, or performed by Bruce Springsteen or a member of the E Street Band can be heard right here on the radio voice of Nassau Community College in Garden City, New York. Join Kim Tracy for Thunder Road.
Let the Motormouths help you with all of your car questions at 516-572-7440.
Oh, yeah, we're back. And you can't call us.
No.
Because it's the Motormouth Mother's Day Extravaganza, the best bits of 08.
The phone in the studio may be ringing off the hook, but we're not there to get it, so we wouldn't know if you were anyway.
Exactly. So don't call us because there's... We're not nowhere near a phone.
And thanks to Ray Miranda for finding this great back room that nobody knows about to have this party.
Exactly.
I don't know how they fit this many from outside. Looks like there's nothing here.
Yeah, it's real quiet.
He is the fixer.
I tell you. The grand man himself. So anyway,
yeah,
let's get back to the bits here.
Okay.
You know, back in the summer, we had to honor the King of Customs, George Barris, right here in the studio. Didn't take long for Ray to get him to start talking about the old days. And that was a lot of fun. Because having a guy like Barris here was definitely a capper to our year.
A pinnacle, yeah.
Yes, it was. And here's how it sounded on the Motormouth Mother's Day Extravaganza. Check it out.
George, yeah. I really like the hot rod stuff, the nuts and bolts, the go-fast burning rubber. And in fact, I have a hybrid. It burns rubber and oil.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about the trend of what used to be known as racing for Reggies or pink slips?
Well, I started out racing way back in the late 40s at the Piccadilly Drive-In in Culver City. And over there, when you raced, that means you raced for pink slips.
Serious.
I mean, if you think you're going to beat him, you better make sure, because if you don't, you lose your car.
Can you explain what that means for people who may not know what that means?
Racing for pink slip was we meet at the drive-in, and we agitate guys. Come on, your car can't make it. All right, they start yelling and screaming. Finally, we got two guys to go, and they go up to Sepulveda Highway with it. In those days, it was a hill, empty, and we line up all the cars across the hill. with the lights going across, all the guys and gals get out and sing and dance and play the music, rock and roll. And they would get up, the two guys would get up about 2 miles up, and they give them the flag to go, zoom, they come roaring down there, 120 miles an hour. We're all screaming and yelling, but coming up the other way is about a set of 6 or 8 red lights. That means the cops are coming up to block us, which was great. Now, what are we going to do? You got 100 cars on each side of the road that don't want to get tickets or get thrown in jail, so they're going in different directions. And think about these two guys doing 120 miles an hour, trying to miss all these guys.
Adrenaline, right?
And if, hey, to get out of there, we'd leave the girls. We're out of there.
Save the car, leave the girls, right?
Exactly. So girls are replaceable.
That was the start.
That certainly was the start. We had him rolling there, didn't we?
Oh, yeah, we didn't want to finish.
No, definitely not. And I don't think he wanted to finish either. And basically, he didn't, because he had such a good time bringing back those memories. We had we took him back once again.
He came back in August.
Yeah. Well, here's another... This is the same show.
Okay.
It was the same day. He didn't even come back for this next bit.
I think I had a dope street Adele. Because I'm acting like a dope.
And I'm sitting here pushing buttons here. I don't know what I'm doing. All right, let's wait for this to queue up.
Get the coal furnace going.
You know, this remote broadcast sometimes can get a little sticky.
Things are not always as planned. It's not exact science.
George Barris, part two, question I asked him here on the Motormouth Mother's Day Extravaganza. Check
Did
it out.
Did you ever realize when you first put that pot and pan hubcap on that 25 Buick, did you ever think of what you were creating and what you were doing?
No, we didn't think that, my brother and I. We just enjoyed it. We enjoyed taking a car and changing it, making it look good. Then Pete Peterson came by, 1948, mm-hmm. did the first hot rod show down at the L.A. Armory, mm-hmm. and that's where it was a racing, Rosetta Timing, SETA, they were there, and I had the only custom car, a chop channel section Buick with fadeaways and everything, but everybody loved it. Lionel Hampton came over, John, all the top stars were coming by and liked the different cars we were doing. And so that kind of escalated us. And then in the 50s, the movie people kind of liked us because we were what we call militants. We were racing in the street, bang, 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 and they'd always chase us, but they never could catch us. We were just too fast.
That's not running.
Many times we were riding on Broadway Boulevard, and they block off both sides of the road. Boom, we just go down through the oil wells. We're gone. We're out of there. And I get up in the morning and I go out to the garage to get in my little 32, and I look at the trunk's bullet holes. Bang, bang.
Real ones, not real. The decals we were talking about earlier.
So it was, they couldn't understand that we had a ruling in our club. None of us smoked, none of us drank, and no drugs. But we allowed ourselves 2 bad habits. Cars and girls.
Not bad, George.
You know,
not bad habits.
Cars came before the girls. So we were able to pioneer a lot of that. Many of the celebrities helped us. And, of course, with Peterson having the Hot Rod magazine, Motor Trend, Car Craft, we were able then to photograph all the cars as we were customizing them and doing things. So that made it a lot of difference, too.
He sounded great, didn't he?
Yeah. You know, Chris, now what I really like about this show, we get to go to the local legends. We had George Barris, who's a national legend, if not worldwide, now we get the local legends.
Exactly. Really true. And, you know, local legends also have a tangle with the police as well.
Yeah.
Back in March, another racing legend, Billy Lynch, sat in with the Motormouths and told of one instance that he had where the police stopped him. What he was doing, what he was doing was pretty unique. So let's check it out here on the Motormouth Radio Mother's Day Extravaganza.
Funny story goes along with that. It took us all day Saturday to make the switch over from top gas to top fuel. Uh-huh. And at 6 o'clock at night, Mike decided we were going to fire the car up.
Right.
And you know he was going to set the injectors. And I said, "Okay, where are we going to do this? We're in the middle of New York City."
Yeah.
So he says, "Well, there's a housing development out where I live, out in Deer Park."
Uh-huh.
So he says, "We'll take it out there." So we got out there about 7 o'clock at night, and I put the gas mask on, and they cinched me in the car and push-started the car and fired it up, and Mike came over and set the injectors, and he gave me the signal just to give it a little squirt to check the clutch.
Mm-hmm.
And I jumped on the throttle, and I run it about 4 blocks. I had to be doing, in the back roads of Deer Park, 180 miles an hour.
Yeah, nice.
pull the parachutes, pull the fuel shut off, hit the kill switch, and I looked up. There's a police car coming in on the right-hand side.
Sure, sure.
And,
did you wave at him, too?
I said to myself, well, we're not going to Connecticut tomorrow. Tomorrow's out.
Wow.
And they had pulled up alongside of me, two cops in the car, and they both got out, and they stood there looking at me, not knowing what they should do or how they should handle this.
And
I'm saying to myself, where do I go from here? I can't tell them, I wasn't speeding.
I didn't know.
Right, there are parachutes that are deflated behind you.
And sure enough, there were two hot rodders, motorheads, that they came over to ask questions about the car, and they wished us luck, and we packed up the car. And
needless to say, there's two retired Suffolk County cops somewhere right now that have some great stories.
Sure.
You know, when they're around with their buddies.
that was classic. Here we are down in Party Central, where the party is going strong. And we're not taking any phone calls because we're playing the best bits.
We're having enough trouble doing that.
I don't think
we can handle a phone right now.
This remote board setup is, you've got to turn the rubber band and...
Feed the squirrel. Oh, is that the possum you brought in from Brooklyn? Is he? I see him under there. He's chasing...
He's the one in the little leather jacket.
You got him chasing Lord Bentley under there.
My spider's never been the same since the possum showed up. dealing with the police in those situations can potentially be dangerous. Here's another drag racing legend, George Snizek, sensing some potential danger the second he climbed into the car.
Right.
he noticed something a little odd, which was kind of weird. And Dennis Quintoni from Performance Services kicks it off. Right here on the Motormouth Mother's Day Extravaganza. Check it out.
Before we get too far off the subject, I want George to talk about the roll cage or the roll bar that he had in his car and how his head was actually higher than the roll cage.
And defeat the purpose, Dennis?
Well, I want George to tell us how his partner solved that problem.
Well, the first car that we put together, the first dragster we put together was a kit car, like I mentioned, from Chassis Research. And my partner, Charlie. Charlie was great with making anything. He could take a beer can and make it into something super. Very, very, very creative, more so than myself. But again, back to the first car, as we welded it, we put it together, I sat in the car and I said, Charlie, I'm sitting kind of high. He says, scrunch down in a seat. I scrunched down. I said, no, something's not right.
That's
so.
A technical term, right,
yeah.
George?
Scrunching.
Yeah, scrunching. Thought so.
I called Scotty Fenn in California, and I said, Scotty, the roll bar seems a little low on this car. He says, well, that's the way it is. He said, how do you do it? He says, tell you what. He says, that's what separates the men from the boys. Learn to live with it.
Wow.
And that's what I did. I learned to sit really low in the car. And
they said you were hard-headed, but I don't think they meant it that way, right?
The pictures, any pictures that we found of the car, you see my head about 4 inches above the roll bar.
God.
But it ran. And talking about the recreation of cars, our new Roadster that Jerry had built in Arizona, it has the new 6-point roll cage in it. And
just for old time's sake, they mounted it 4 inches lower than your head.
You can see on the cars today that the roll cages are much, much more improved than they were back in the 50s.
I believe it. Wow.
Poor George.
Exactly. Can you imagine driving around with a car that the roll bar is lower than your head?
Yeah.
It definitely does defeat the purpose. Well, this is the Motormouth Radio Mother's Day Extravaganza, playing the best bits of 08 and 09. And just want to say happy Mother's Day to all you mothers out there.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Because it's your day. Your day, your way.
Oh, jeez. I haven't heard that in a long time. Yeah, and now we're going to continue with the local flair with our down-home Goomba favorite racing legends.
Yeah, right? Talk a little bit about them.
Right, well, racing's something that's in their blood, and here's our Motormouth Radio favorites, Dina and Drew Parisi, explaining how Miss Dina got the driving bug back in October.
Yeah, this is pretty cool, right here on the Extravaganza. Check it out.
So how did you transition into actually getting behind the controls of the car?
By the end of that weekend, I called my mom and
She got tired of cooking.
Yeah. What do you mean tired of cooking? I still cook every weekend and drive. I cook and I drive.
Wow.
And In between driving, I vacuum. I even vacuumed this weekend in between runs.
See what I started?
Yes, I see.
You made a mess.
Oh, you have no clue.
I have
black hair like last week.
I have a feeling you knew exactly what to say, too, and when to say.
Oh, I did. Believe me. Right.
No, when to drop that bomb.
Yeah.
I really did. I vacuumed in between runs. I'm not kidding.
So anyway,
why do I have a feeling there's a lot of energy going on here that just needs to be expended all the time? Not, you know.
How about those mitts, right?
Yeah, well, they're out, yeah. So at the end of the weekend, you decided watching was no good anymore, right?
Right.
I remember I called my mom on the phone, and she said it to you, I think, right? She goes, oh, yeah, my daughter will be in the car within the next couple of years. And no doubt, I went to Frank Hawley a couple of years later.
Yep.
Yeah, I think 2 years later, I went to Frank Hawley.
Wow.
And then I lost the Camaro.
Yeah.
And then he lost the Camaro.
Well, then again, that ramped you into bigger and better things, because now you have this beautiful ProMod 53 Corvette.
Yeah, he's kicking himself now, isn't he?
When you want something bigger and better, the next person comes along and wants the next thing bigger and better.
Of course. So now you have two ProMod Corvettes.
Right. Well, no, actually, remember, he bought the 67 Bunny. He's like, well, we'll build that. Okay, that's fine. He goes, what? And I go, no, that's good. That's fine. He goes, why? Well, how fast do you want to go? I'm like, I was thinking maybe, I don't know, ProMod racing.
Yeah. Well, now just explain for the people what ProMod racing means, right, in terms of elapsed time and mile per hour.
And then after that, explain the reaction on Andrew's face when you said ProMod.
Well, you go ahead
same
and explain.
Same face I have on now.
You're going to have to explain that. There's
that
no video.
There the
you know that black and white video of the two trains coming together? Right. We've all seen it, right? And that big, huge explosion, that's usually what goes on in my head at that very moment. Just letting you know.
that was basically my whole life. Just so everything flies in, it's like jumping off a mountain and you don't stop.
How fast does she want to go now?
And the ride is picking up speed.
Yeah, they certainly are. They're going as fast as ever.
No jello shots, Dean McMahon. Bring them over here.
That was Dean.
Those cherry ones are good.
That was Dean and Drew Parisi. Drew's hair was black last week.
I love that line. That was great.
This is the Motor Mouth Radio Mother's Day Extravaganza. The best bits of 08 and 09. And when we return, Mark from Levittown has a business venture that may draw some flies. Mm-hmm. Of course, the economics lesson from Gerard and Mikey T. Gerard from Rolling Thunder and Mikey T. from Branded Cycles. Mm-hmm. And how Jerry Faldetta from Full Throttle Autos actually made me fall down.
That's going to be a good one.
Stick around. Stay with us at Party Central here at the Motor Mouth Radio Mother's Day Extravaganza. The best bits of 08 and 09 just for you on Mother's Day. Keep it where you got.
Your car not running right? Let the Motor Mouth help you out at 516-572-7440.
What do your Thursday nights sound like? How about your Sunday afternoons? Well, at 90.3 FM WHPC, they sound like this. Thursdays at 11 p.m. and Sundays at 1 p.m., anything written, produced, or performed by Bruce Springsteen or a member of the E Street Band can be heard right here on the radio voice of Nassau Community College in Garden City, New York. Join Kim Tracy for Thunder Road.
Your car not running right? Let the Motor Mouths help you out at 516-572-7440.
All righty. Here we are back in Party Central. Not listening to Rob give the phone number.
No, starting to feel good, though.
Why is that?
So I just had a... Well, I can't tell you what I had.
Are you throwing me another softball there?
It's working, though, yeah.
Whatever it is. How are those painkillers treating you?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Those painkillers, those jello shot painkillers.
Yeah, you get to go with the tray with the cigarettes and the candy and the jello shots, and sometimes they have a little tray underneath where they got some special stuff.
Ooh, the special... A lot of special stuff going on here at the Motor Mouth Radio Mother's Day Extravaganza, where we are playing the best bits of 08 and 09. Let's take you back to December of last year. And in the 7 years of Motor Mouth Radio, I don't think we've ever gotten a call like this.
No, I don't think so.
Now, this was very unique. Mark from Levittown had a very unique business proposal. I don't think we can ever top this
one. Let's check this out.
Yeah, exactly. On the Motormouth Mother's Day Extravaganza.
Well, let's go to the phones. See who's on the line. Hi, you're on with the Motormouths.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Mark, how are you?
What's up, brother?
Good show today. Good show. Very amusing.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I got a ticket question for you.
Okay.
A ticket story more than a question.
All right.
Remember that firebird I told you guys about?
Yes.
Okay, so, you know, the car was sitting there in the street. Now I noticed that the inspection had expired.
Oh, yeah.
What I had done, I went out and I got some whiteout.
Oh, I hear it coming already.
You did not.
Oh, yeah. I chopped up a little bit of a black Crayola crayon, made a little mix, dropped it on there like a flying pigeon was passing by.
You stop that pigeon. Stop that pigeon.
Exactly.
You had stunt poop.
And it looked great. And I figured if a cop was going to come by and see it, he either would have a razor blade or he just wouldn't have the guts and go, and let it go, you know?
Well, we know what really happened, right?
It was there for months and months.
The
anyway,
poop.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And the registration had expired. So last week I come out and there's two tickets out there. So I got two tickets for one registration and no inspection. But the stuff was still on the inspection sticker and it wasn't scraped off. Now, the cop wrote down the wrong number on the inspection sticker because he didn't scrape it off.
Oh, you got to kidding me. So there was misinformation on the ticket.
Yeah, definitely.
I cannot believe you took white out and a black crayon and made pigeon poop.
Yep.
Dude, how long have we been doing this show?
You've been doing it 7 years.
That is a first. I have never in my life heard such a thing before. I am amazed.
Why, thank you. I'm going to bottle it and sell it to Pep Boys.
You should. You should market it, at least through eBay.
Put it in a handy squirt bottle, too.
It's not a bad idea. Your inspection expired? Registration expired? Don't worry. There's not a cop strong enough that's going to take it off for you.
Mark's mandatory muck.
Right.
Guaranteed to get you out of trouble.
Don't want your wife taking your car? Spray a little on the door handle.
Yeah.
Oh,
Dude, you're a genius.
Yeah, I'm telling
that's
you.
Funny.
Excellent.
Thanks,
okay,
brother.
Have a good one.
Thanks, Mark.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Pleasure. Bye-bye.
You see, it's the ingenuity of the people who listen to a show like this.
Oh, my gosh.
That people should be in jail. And some probably will be by the end of the day.
That's our listeners make fake poop.
Well, and unlike the real stuff that we churn out for an hour, right?
Twice a week.
Yep, absolutely.
Doesn't take white out and a black crayon on this show.
Just takes a microphone and a switch to say
exactly.
No.
And a full hour, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah, the Motormouth Radio muck.
Oh, God.
So this is the extravaganza. We're winding down. That was pretty, we've had some monumental times.
I think they're holding some food for us, too.
I hope
we got to hurry up so we can actually eat.
So talk about some business ventures. You know, maybe Mark should first take an economics lesson from these guys.
These are two guys to take it from.
You betcha. I would definitely think that they wouldn't steer us wrong. Well, we would steer them wrong. But anyway, we got Gerard from Rolling Thunder in the studio and Mikey T from Branded Cycles on the phone talking about what to do when it all goes to hell. And here's how it sounds on the Motormouth Radio Mother's Day Extravaganza.
I'll tell you my economic forecast, and I know absolutely nothing about economics, okay?
Right.
Is that whenever it's a presidential election, doesn't matter who wins, everybody stops spending money. You wait until the election, and then, you know, it will only be nice to us for so long. We'll be nice to ourselves and save money, and then we're going to start spending money again. And then, you know, who's ever left standing in the spring, that's who gets to make the money. So me and Mikey will be there, and we'll have a good time.
Right.
You're 100% right. Whatever comes around goes around, and this is normal anyway. This time of year, people always slow down. Here comes Christmas, January. The phone rings off the hook because everybody figures out, okay, Christmas is over. What do I got left?
Yeah, if the media would just shut up about things being bad,
right.
People wouldn't think it's so bad.
Right.
That's what it comes down to. But they just love to. They're full of bad news. You know, have some good news for a change. You know.
Yeah.
Well, I think the median average family has $9,000 credit debt on their cards. I think that's the number. It's an average number.
That's not a lot.
I was going to say, and that's on for like each of 12 cards, right?
Yeah. Right.
In my house, I think that's how it is.
People, you know what? This is, and Gerard knows, God, he knows from being in business. The way business is when it's good, and when it goes down, you got to be prepared for it. That's all.
Now, how does one prepare for that, Mike, as a business owner?
Other than expanding like you did.
Right.
Well, listen, you got two choices. You either, and God, Gerard knows this too. I mean, what do you do when you're sitting there and you got an established shop and they walk in and go, oh, by the way, we're taking this building, you know?
Uh-huh.
I mean,
right.
At that point,
yeah, I don't want to remember that one, yeah.
Yeah, that's you.
Oh, yeah.
Gerard just winced.
I felt it when they did that because it was, when you had the used bike department, everything, it was laid out perfect.
Sure.
And then they walk in and do that. You got two choices. You either go forward or you shut down.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can panic. There's another choice in there. You can panic.
Run around screaming, flailing your arms.
That was the first day.
Right.
They can call you, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, right. That's right. So, Mike.
Right after they take you off the respirator and give you the nitroglycerin for your heart, then you have to make a decision.
Those were some trying times, but these men handled it well.
They prevailed.
Yes, they did.
They prevailed. Even though we put them on our show on a regular basis, they still prevailed.
That couldn't even throw them. You kidding me?
Like a rock.
Like rocks, right. These guys are rocks.
Speaking of rocks,
let's have a. We need a super hit. We need a bonus hit.
A bonus hit, right? Because we're not running long.
Super hit one, hit one, hit one, hit one.
Usually we run long on something like this.
Yeah, we do.
So a lot of times we have to take those bonus hits and toss them aside. Not this time here on the Extravaganza. Here's one of our rocks, one of our pinnacles, our cornerstones of society. He's our favorite shop teacher, Neil the Mighty Mills Miller. And he's talking about what happens when he actually does his job. Yeah. does his job correctly. Not like us. Here's how it sounded on the Motormouth Mother's Day Extravaganza.
Actually, my shop, we actually got a car running. A project car running.
Hey!
Whoa!
Car running.
How'd you do that?
Luck. No, it was exactly 1 year project of taking literally a grandfather's Oldsmobile, 1995 Cutlass Sierra.
I remember you talking about that.
Had a blown engine. Well, see, it's a 30,000 mile car, seized engine. Because of no oil.
Wow.
And ended up being, we ripped the top end and bottom end apart, replaced the bearings, the ground, the crank, and so forth.
Right.
But the car runs great. That first attempt of starting the car, though, we had some of the wires mismarked.
Okay.
Mm.
Ignition-wise.
We had two positives connected to a negative.
Oh.
Bottom line, we hooked up the battery. One of my kids was saying, sparks coming out. Me being a good auto tech teacher, just keep tightening it, keep tightening
it. Yeah, don't worry about it.
And all of a sudden, and I learned something I didn't know before, that there's lead around the little cables for a reason. They'll melt right off.
Yeah.
The cables melted right off the battery.
Right.
Never knew that. Never had a reason to know that.
Well, that's what you do.
Fire department later.
That was the greatest end. Fire department later.
I thought, you know, if I didn't know that was Neil, I would have thought that was happening in your driveway. You know, I would have thought that was a story from Brooklyn. Absolutely.
You know, it's so funny because there were so many of the stories that I could have picked. There was the Exxon Valdez.
Oh, yeah.
That when I dumped all the oil in the driveway. There's the possum story that...
Which one? Yours or mine?
That's right. You had a possum story as well that we couldn't... When the possum ended up building a nest on the top of the Chevy, the engine on the Chevy,
right,
and subsequently going on fire. All of these great bits.
Oh, there's a lot of them
that we could have played, and I racked my brains, and I have to thank you, Ray, for compiling one of the greatest lists.
Well, the new list is in compilation right now as we speak.
You made my job so much easier this year, because every year I would have to listen to all the shows.
So what were you complaining about? You still complained every week. I'm like, God, I got to go through so much stuff. There's so many bits. Oh, my God.
Yeah, so?
Yeah. No. So it really didn't... Well, anyway, you know, people can go to motormouthradio.com and check out this stuff. And also there's a link to iTunes where you can hear our older stuff. So if you hear a bit and you want to go back and find the show that it was part of, you can probably do that.
Yeah, pretty much. And the show, like the Mother's Day show, spends all its time on the website, not like our shows that you just regurgitate.
Right, this one will stay there.
This one will stay there. It doesn't have that monthly lifespan like our other shows.
It's got the consistency of Mark's registration deterrent.
Mark's fake poop.
Yeah, black crayons and whiteout.
It still amazes me. But anyway, we're down to our last bit, right?
This is a good one, too.
This is a good one. It cracks me up. You know, I'm going to go back to April on this.
Just a few weeks ago.
Yeah, it really was. And the editor of Full Throttle Autos, Jerry Faldetta, said one line that literally made me momentarily lose control of the show.
Is that because you literally fell on the floor on your back, flailing around, and Jerry and I looking at each other like, okay, let's just talk until Chris gets up again, and then we'll just move buttons around and see what we can do. Is that why?
Completely. But it wasn't his line.
You were like Bluto from
Popeye.
No. I'm talking about from Animal House.
Blutarski. Blutarski.
Do the Bluto. You know, like,
John Belushi. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
You were like Blutarski.
It really wasn't his line that made me laugh. It was your response to it.
Is that what it was?
It was your deadpan response. And check this out. Yeah, check this out on the Motormouth Mother's Day Extravaganza. Here it is.
Your belt was a weapon. So if you wore it on the side, you could undo it and pull it out and wrap it on your hand and use it
as a weapon. How could you pull it any easier than being in the...
It's like wearing a side-load pistol.
You should talk to my dad.
Yeah.
My dad, too, actually. I should know about
it. Plus, it's actually...
But he can do it from the front.
It just does go back to the 50s. And I picked it up when I was in high school, not even pre-high school even. I was in sixth grade. Because some of the older, tough guys did that, and I've done it ever since. It's just
So you wear the belt literally like on the bone of your hip.
I got to ask, do you do this in front of a mirror and like practice whipping it out?
Well, no, Jerry. As a matter of fact, I can do it without a mirror. I don't need to see what I'm doing because that's the beauty of the whole thing. You see, when you're that proficient, you don't have to see. Yeah, right. Clint Eastwood is in the back somewhere. Yeah,
he's on the floor.
Yes, he is. Chris, answer the phone, please. We have a phone call.
You're on the floor.
It's probably the FCC calling to.
You said that with a straight face.
The FCC is calling to not renew our contract. And we're going to be at Arby's next week. Chris will be on the roast beef. Jerry will be flinging hot dogs. Yeah. You know, Jerry has really warmed up to this show. He's learned how to get along with us quite well. And he fits right in.
He totally does. And that was it. There you go, Ray. The best bits of 2008 and 2009 on the Motormouth Mother's Day Extravaganza. I'd like to thank everybody at Party Central.
Yeah, everybody from Party Central that provide the place, the waiters,
stuff,
the waitresses,
and
the food.
Stuff. Right, and the stuff.
And I look forward to doing this again next year because we're compiling already.
That's right. Definitely compiling, so always call us and make sure you have some great bits for us to choose from and make it really hard for us to do it because we have so many, and that's what I'm always pleased about.
Hey, happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day, right?
Thanks.
See you later. Thunder Road on the way. Kim Tracy, the best of Bruce Springsteen. So keep it where you got it.